Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Mem Beis. We begin the 21st parak of Maseches Shabbos today, and we're going to discuss moving things tiltul muktza, sort of min atzad, when you're carrying baskets that have muktza items in it, babies that have muktza items in them. Then we're going to discuss which circumstances you can move a basket that has truma tameya, and when you just have to pick out the tar fruits and leave the tummy fruits behind. And the last piece of the Gemara before the Mishnah is going to discuss why removing truma from a mixture isn't a violation of tikkun mana when you take truma out of something and therefore leave only the chulin behind. The Mishnah on Beis and the Gemara that follows it is going to discuss how a person can move a barrel that has a rock on top of it or a pillow with money on it, if there's any way to get around the muktzah problem. And then the daf is going to conclude with a discussion of moving muktzah by putting a non-muktzah item on it first, of kikarotinok, placing a loaf of bread or a baby on the muktzah item and therefore allowing oneself to move the muktzah item. So let's see the Mishnah. Person can take his child who is holding a stone. The child could be holding a rock, and a person is allowed to pick up the child or to pick up a basket that has a rock in it. And a person is also allowed to handle truma tameya together with truma tahora. The truma tahora is not muktzah. It's fine. Kohen's allowed to eat it. It's fine. Truma tameya, it has to be burnt, so it's muktzah on Shabbos. So a person is allowed to hold truma tameya with tahora v'imachulin and with chulin. If you look at Rashi, imatahora agav hatahora va'agav chulin avol tameya b'apinafshe lav basiltulhi. That's only agav the truma tahora, which is not muktzah. So you're allowed to carry the truma tameya together with it, but or agav the chulin, which is not muktzah, you can carry the truma tameya with it. But truma tameya alone is certainly muktzah. It has no use. It has to be burnt on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af malinus hamaduma be'echad umeya. A different halacha, as Rashi explains, saw truma shenafel kuf shel chulin. If you have one saw of truma falls into 100 si'in of chulin, the kaimelan da ola, so we paskin that it's going to become batel. Mutulaha losa lusa'a truma mehen b'shabbos. So we paskin that it's batel in meya, but you need to take out one sa'a to be the representative sa'a of truma. At least you shouldn't be benefiting from the truma that fell into the taroves, that fell into the chulin. So you have to be mala the truma. So it's mutter to be mala the sa'a of truma on Shabbos. You have chulin mutarin, and that's going to make the chulin mutter. And what would be the problem? This is not a muktzah issue we're talking about over here. No, that we don't say that it's mesakein. Now, one might think that this is called tikkun mana because you are now fixing the truma. You're now fixing the chulin and enabling yourself to eat the chulin. So he said, no, we're not worried that this is called mesakein. So of course, the kasha that you have to ask on this Mishnah is the whole Mishnah is about muktzah. And then all of a sudden, Rabbi Yehuda starts talking about meduma, whatever. There are lots of halachos of truma you could have mentioned. You can't just say, no, it's agav, the last halacha that was about muktzah that involved truma. So we mentioned this non-muktzah related issue that involves truma. Because there are a lot of halachos about truma that we could have said. So what's the shaychus between this halacha and everything muktzah? So Shor Mitzion Balacha suggests that just like it's muktzah l'taltal tameya agav hatahora, so too it's muktzah l'taltal the meduma, and even to take it out, and it's not an issue of mesakein, because there's like we're going to say, since there's an eitzah, it's by no seinein of b'tzad zeva ochel b'tzad acher, so it's not that's how it doesn't really explain. The Sfasemis explains what it has to do over here. The Sfasemis explains that it's talking about truma tameya that fell into 100 se'in of chulin, or fell into truma Torah, where you then need to take it out and be sorif it. So when you're taking it, meaning we're not stamped on a truma that fell into chulin, we're talking about truma tameya that fell into chulin. Truma tameya is going to be muktzah. So whatever you take out as the representative sa'a of truma tameya is then going to be muktzah as soon as you take it out. So I would think it's asur laharima, because once you remove, while it's in the mixture, it's fine, it's not muktzah. But once you remove it, you're making it muktzah. So I might have thought that that's a problem. So kamash blan, Rabbi Yehuda comes to tell me, since prior to taking it out, it would, that sa'a would be mutter, so it's mutter laharima, you're allowed to go and take it out. Good, that's the shaychus according to this Fasemis of this halacha to the rest of the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Hotzi tinok chai, v'kis tali b'tzavaro, chai mishum kis. If a person is carrying a live child who has a pouch around his neck, so he's chai for carrying the pouch. Even though he's not carrying the pouch directly, he's carrying the child directly, and the child is the one that's carrying the pouch, so he's chai for carrying the pouch, not for carrying the child. Tinok meis v'kis talalo b'tzavaro. If Rachman al-Tzlan is carrying a dead child and the child has a pouch around his neck, pater. Then he's going to be pater for everything. He's not going to be chayiv for carrying the child, nor is he going to be chayiv for carrying the kiss. So says the Gemara, Tinok chas. Now the Gemara is going to explain each of these halachos. First halacha first. Tinok chayiv v'kis talalo b'tzavaro. He's carrying a live child with a pouch around his neck. Chayiv mishum kiss. So we said he's chayiv for carrying the kiss. So first, v'l'chayiv na mishum tinok. Why isn't he chayiv for the tinok? Why he's carrying the child also? So that's also a violation of carrying. So Rava Krabi Nasan Sfir. And again, we're saying chayiv. It means we're not talking about hilchus mukta. When we say chayiv, it means we're talking about hotza'a. So he should be chayiv for the child's not mukta, but it is hotza'a, isn't it? He's carrying the child outside, so it should be a violation of hotza'a. So Rava Krabi Nasan Sfir. Rava assumes like the sheet of Rabbi Nasan. Da'amar chay no se'as atzmo. The Rabbi Nasan holds that it's not called carrying when you're carrying a living being, because a chay is no se'as atzmo. A living being carries itself, and therefore one is not chayiv for the child. The Ramban and the Rashba raise the question that Rava himself and Sadi Dal Rambay says that by Adam afilu Rabban Mogil Rabbi Nasan the chay no se'as atzmo. That when it comes to a human being, you don't need to say like Rabbi Nassan. Even the Rabban would be modded Rabbi Nassan, the Chai Nosei Satsma, by a person. It's only by an animal we have a machlokas, whether a Chai Nosei Satsma. But everyone agrees to the concept in general. So the Rishonim answer that over here we're talking about a very young child. And a very young child doesn't really do much to help you in holding him. It's so the job is all done by the person who's holding. If you have a child who's a little bit older, who can maneuver his body to help, to cling, to balance his weight properly, so he does more helping in terms of. That's where we say the Rabban and Rabbi Nassim agree that Achai Nosei Es Atzmo, when we're dealing with a child who's a little bit older. But a young child, a very young child, an infant, let's say, so even though it's alive, it does nothing to help you hold it, so that would still be subject to the Machlokas, Rabbi Nassim and the Rabbanon, and that would have the same din as carrying a behema. But anyway, so that's why you're not chayiv for carrying the child, because Achai Nosei Es Atzmo. But you are chayiv for carrying the pouch that's on the child. So frankly, more of a lift to kiss the gabe tinok, milo tnanas a chai b'mita, pater afal amita, shamita tfelilo. So shouldn't we say that you're pater for the pouch as well, because the pouch should be batel, legabe the child. After all, the Mishnah says if you carry out a live person on a bed, you're pater even on the bed, because the bed is tafel to the live person. So shouldn't the pouch around the kid's neck be tafel to the kid? Says Gemara, mita legabe chai, miftalilei. Kis legabe tinok lo miftalilei. That a pouch has money in it, so people are not necessarily mevatel to the tinok. It's not necessarily tafel to the child. The pouch is something that you value as well. When it comes to the mita is only valuable insofar as that it's helping you carry the person. But over here, the kiss is independently valuable. It's independently something that you may want to use and that you may be interested in carrying from one place to the other. So therefore, it's not batal. So that's that's the idea. The difference between the kiss and the tinok, the kiss and the mita. Again, it's not that a kiss is necessarily more valuable than a mita in terms of its inherent value. How much would someone pay for a bed versus how much would someone pay for that pouch, or what's the monetary value of the pouch? It's its relationship to the child, its relationship to the living person. It's the bed's function right now is purely as something you're using to carry the person. The function of the pouch right now is not helping you carry the person. It's something that's independently valuable. How much value is irrelevant? It's independently valuable aside from the child. So that's the explanation of the first halacha. Next halacha, tinok meis v'kis talalo b'tzavaro. Let's say you have the dead child and has a pouch around his neck. So pater, you're pater on everything. So frekli gemar v'l'chai mishum tinok. Why are you pater on carrying the child? It's not a chai no se'as atzma anymore. You should be chayiv. He's not a chai. So rava krebishim nesvirilei damar kom lach shen svichu l'gufa pater ala. Rava assumes like the sheet of Rabbi Shimon that a melach shein tzricha l'gufa, you're pater, and this is a melach shein tzricha l'gufa. So that's why you're going to be pater in this case. If you look at, there is a well-known machlokas Rashi and Tosfos in terms of how we define melach shein tzricha l'gufa. If you look at Rashi, we have melach shein tzricha l'gufa umotzi meis l'kovro melach shein tzricha l'gufa yikadom ma'matznia. When you take out a mace to bury him, that's called a melach shein tzricha l'gufa. V'kis shayotali b'tzavar the sachik bo agav mrore mevatale gabi tinok shemes v'lochashvle yishaita. So Rashi points out, great, that explains why you're not chayiv for carrying the child. What happened to the kiss? Why are you not chayiv for carrying the kiss? Amazingly, the Gemara never directly addresses that. Even though in the first case we said you're chayiv for carrying the kiss, in this case all of a sudden the kiss didn't change. So why are you not chayiv for carrying the kiss? So Rashi addresses it, and Rashi says agav merari mevatale gabi tinok shemes, that because you're so bitter, it doesn't mean anything to you. The kiss, it's kilu, it's not there. A person Nebuch is dealing with a deceased child. The last thing on his mind is the kiss that's around the child's neck. So then it becomes batal. Even though we said before that bittal is a function of its relationship to the other item that you're holding, but over here it's mamish nothing. It has no inherent value to you because you don't. Nothing has is important in light of what the person is dealing with. That's how Rashi explains. That's how Tosfos says in his first pshat as well. But then Tosfos gives a different pshat. Says Tosfos, inami tinok chayhu tzorich lekis letayel bo atinok. Aval tinok meis mat tzorich lekis. The kiss is a toy. It helps keep the child entertained. So when the child is alive, the kiss has value to it. Once the child is dead, you don't need that kiss anymore. So it's not necessary at all anymore, and therefore it becomes shalo kederach hamotzin. Something that's completely unnecessary and therefore not normal to carry out. So it says the Gemara Vayter, so we have a mission that says that a person is allowed to carry a child who's holding a rock. So this is problematic. We see that it's not considered as if, now, allowed to carry a child, it's a little bit of a different conversation. That was our Mishnah. That was in Hilchos Muktzah. That's not in Hilchos Hotzah. We're asking from our Mishnah, which is about Hilchos Muktzah, on a halacha that we just quoted about Hilchos Hotzah. But the question is still a good question. Meaning, in Hilchos Hotzah, we just said that if you carry a child that has the kiss al tzavaro, you're chayiv for the kiss. Meaning, it counts as if you're carrying the kiss. It counts as if you're carrying the item that the child is carrying. So why in Hilchos Muktzah don't we say the same thing? If carrying a child that's holding a rock counted as if you were carrying the rock, as if you were moving the rock, it would be a problem of Tiltul Muktzah. Even in Rosh HaSiyachid, it's also to be Notal Adam as Benova Evan Bia. It's Mutter to be Notal Adam as Benova Evan Biado. And we don't say that it's carrying the Muktzah rock. So why the difference? Samri Debe Rabbiana, Ibitinuk Sheshla Gagu and Alaviv. And we make a big ukimta in our Mishnah. When we say that you're allowed to carry a child that's holding a rock, that's only in a circumstance where the child is cranky and the child wants his father badly. Says Rashi Shem Lo Yitlanu Yechala. If you don't carry the child might get sick. See, even though it is an Isra of Muktzah, when in an indirect case of Muktzah like this, the Chum were not so machmir, b'makom sakana. V'yafal gav delav sakanas nefesh gemura, el sakanas choli. Even though it's not really sakana. Meaning Rashi points out, this isn't sakanas nefesh, it's sakanas choli, but for a child who Nebuch wants something, so we're going to be a little more makel on the issues of Muktzah. So a fascinating discussion in Chashukei Chemer, of Zilberstein raised the question about Yeshlo Gaguin, a child who needs to be calmed down. How far do we go with that svara and say Yeshlo Gaguin has a din of sakana? The child will get over it, you know, let him cry a little, he'll be fine, you know, you give him a lollipop in a few minutes and he'll be okay. So how far do we go with that svara? He discusses a different case. He discusses a parent in an apartment in Eretz Yisrael, the child is going nuts, and what always calms the child down is you bring him out to the marpeset, you bring him out on the porch, and you show him all the cars and trucks driving by. The kid loves cars and trucks, and that always calms him down. The problem is, it's Shabbos, and you show him all the cars and trucks, you're in Eretz Yisrael. Those of you showing him a bunch of Mechalei Shabbos, is that called that you're getting Hana from the Chil Shabbos, of all the people that are driving on Shabbos? So he says, Truth is, it's hard to say that that's called hana'a. You're just seeing something. You're not getting any direct hana'a from what they're doing. And our Gemara says, yesh l'gaguin is a sakana scholi, so maybe there's room to be makel based on that. But he says, it's more mistava that this is a terrible chilul Hashem, that you're going to use chilul Shabbos to calm the child down. He says, it might be helpful to put this in perspective by thinking of other Yisurei Torah that are the equivalent of Chil Shabbos, and think about, would you use those to calm your child down? Like if someone was murdering someone else outside, let's say, would you use that to calm, and it always calms the child down to see blood flowing or something, would you use that to calm the child? So probably you would not want the child anywhere near there. So maybe helpful to think of other Yisurim that are the equivalent of Chil Shabbos, and maybe realize just that it's our own insensitivity to what Chil Shabbos really means, that we become so desensitized that it doesn't mean that much to us, but it should mean a lot to us, and therefore it's a chilul Hashem to be makel with benefiting even in that way, even when it's not such direct benefit from the chilul Shabbos. So anyway, so frek the Gemara, if we're dealing with a child that has gagu and alaviv, ihachi ma'ir ya even afilu dinar nami, then why does it say if he's holding an even, even if he's holding a coin, it should be the halacha should be the same? Alama amir rava lo shanu ala even aval dinar aser. Why does Rava say that in our Mishnah, the only reason you're allowed to hold the child is because he's holding a rock? But if you were holding a dinar, if you were holding money, then it would be bad. What do you mean? If he has gagun alav, it's sakana. Of course you should be able to hold him. It's tiltum and atzad with sakana. So says Gemara, even enough lava lo asiyavuli suye. Dinar enough lo asiyavuli suye. No one comes to a rock. If the child drops the rock, so the father will just let it go and he'll keep on walking. But if it's money, then we're afraid that if the child drops the money, the father's going to want to pick up the money. If you look at Rashi, asila suye, the time alav misham tiltulhu. So now the issue isn't really an issue of tiltul. It's not an issue of muktzah. If the child's holding the money, the reason the father's not allowed to hold the child has nothing to do with tiltul muktzah of the money. Tafil lochso biyadav atinok malich braglav. He says it's a totally different thing. You don't want to put yourself in a situation where money will fall somewhere publicly and then you'll come to pick up the money. That's the issue. Since it's not sakanas nefesh, we're not going to be makil in that situation. So, but Rashi says this great chiddush that even if you're not holding the child, even if you're just holding the child's left hand, let's say, and in the child's right hand there's a dinar, there's a coin, that would still be asur, because the whole point is that he may drop it. It's not about the fact that right now, while you're holding the child, you're being metaltel the dinar. So that's how Rashi understands. That's the chiddush of Rashi, that even if you're just walking with the child. Now, not all the Rishonim agree with this. The Ran quotes from the Ramban, who's cholek, and he says that when do we say that this is going to be mutter? When do we say this is going to be yasser? Only if you're holding the child. But if you're not holding the child, then it's going to be, if you just the child is holding the dinar separately, then it's going to be mutter. Shulchan Aruch and Simon Shintes quotes two deos. Lo itiru el be'even avlim dinar biyado v'afilu lechos hatinok biyado v'u malich baraglav. Aser the chayshin dilman enafel vasi avu el asuye. That's shitas Rashi. And then the Shulchan Aruch says v'yesh omrim shelo asru el kshu nosei atinok im dinar biyado avel lechos atinok biyado avel pisha dinar biyado. That it's only aser if you're holding the child with the dinar biyado. But if you're just holding the child's hand and the child happens to be holding the dinar, ein bekach klum, that's no big deal. And that, of course, is the shitas haramban. Says the Gemara Tanya Kavasid Rava, we have a brisa that says like Rava that the whole dinner that we're makel is only if the child's holding a rock, but not if he's holding a dinar. Hamotzi kelim mekupolim menachon al ksefo. If a person carries out folded clothing that's placed over his shoulder, v'sandal v'tabaos biyado, and he's holding his shoes and his rings in his hands, chayiv. So that's carrying. Of course he's going to be chayiv. V'imahim lubash ben pater. But if he's wearing them, he's pater. Hamotzi adam. But let's say you're carrying a person. V'kelav alav. V'sandalav b'raglav v'tabaosav b'yadav pater, and the person is wearing all this kelim, you're pater. V'ilu atziyam kamo shehein chayiv. But if you were to take it out as is, then you would be chayiv. If that guy that was on top was holding them, was not wearing them, then the person who's carrying the clothing would be chayiv. And that's exactly like Rava said, that it would that it technically would be a problem. Okay, kalkolava evan betocha. So then the Mishnah went on to say, if you have a basket that has a stone inside of it, so he said you're allowed to move such a basket, even though a stone is obviously muktza. So kalkol of evan betocha, says Gemara v'amai, tavi kalkol bastel davar aser. Why is it mutter to move the basket? Shouldn't the basket be a bastel davar aser? It's supporting the stone, and the stone is muktza. So Amar Rabbi Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, hacha b'kalkol moe peros askinan. Over here, we're dealing with a situation where the basket is full of fruits, and since it's full of fruits, so it's not only bastel davar aser, it's primarily basis for the peros. So it's primarily basis l'davar hamutter. So says the Gemara, but there's another eitzah, there's another way to deal with it. So v'lishdinu l'peri v'nishti l'evin v'niktinu b'yadam. Why don't you throw out the fruits and then throw the evin away, and then you'll be able to pick up the fruits, meaning tip over the basket and empty the whole thing out. Instead of lifting up the basket with the evin on it, tip the thing over, let all the fruits and the stone and everything fall on the floor, and then pick up the fruits, gather the fruits, and that way you'll be able to pick up the fruits without carrying the stone. And so Gemara Kid Rabbi Lo Yomer Rav, the peros hamitin nafin. We're dealing with peros that are soft and can get ruined when you throw them all on the floor. If you tip over the basket and the peros roll all over the floor, the peros are likely to get ruined. They're fully ripened, they're very soft, and they're sensitive peros, strawberries and the like. You throw them on the ground, they're going to get ruined. So just like we say that in a different context, we'll see what that different context is soon, so too we say that over here, that since it's peros hamitinafin, it's going to be a problem. Why don't you just shake it up a little bit, and that way you'll be able to, until the stone falls off, and that will be enough. Or as Rashi says, "V'nuray actually stalka peros mina even l'tocha kalkalu l'tzadin v'yashlecha even levada bina arusa," meaning shake it so that the stone will be separated from the peros, and you'll be able to get rid of the peros in that way. And you'll be able to get rid of the stone in that way. Amruchi barashi, amarava hacha b'kalkala p'chusa askin and de'even gufa nas dofin l'kalkala. No, we're dealing in a case where the stone itself becomes part of the basket by filling a hole in the walls of the basket. We're dealing with a basket that has a hole in it, and therefore the stone itself is part of the basket. It's helping to fill a hole in the basket. So the question is, once we give this answer, do we abandon the previous answers? Meaning, do we no longer need to say that there are peros in the basket? Do we no longer need to say that if there are peros in the basket, that the peros are easily ruined if you were to spill them on the ground? Is this in addition to the other two answers, or is this independent? So pashtus is, it's clearly independent. If it's part of the basket, so then it's not muktzah anymore. It's just become part of the basket, and it should be completely mutter. The Rambam over in the Pirush Mishnah says you need three conditions to be met. Number one, that the kalkala has peros in it, that it has fruits. Number two, that the peros be dark and eslachlich, that they be easily ruined fruits. And number three, that the stone is filling a hole in the basket. So the Beis Yosef, he says that it sounds like the Rambam is mefarish, that Rava Zukimta builds on the previous Zukimtas, but it's very difficult to assume that way, because the Beis Yosef points out, because once the Evan is so same, the hole in the basket, so it becomes dofen l'kalkala, it becomes part of the basket wall, and even if it doesn't have peros at all, it's mutter to be metaltel. So why would you need all these three things? So it happens to be the Rambam in the Yad, in the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, in Perek Chafei, Alachat HaZayin, says, Kalkala Shaisa Nekuva, V'sasam Nekav Shalom Be'evin, mutter l'taltela. No mention of peros, no mention of peros mitzunafin. The Rambam apparently was chozer. He was chozer when he wrote the Mishnah Torah, and he interpreted the Gemara, the Pashut Pshat, like we just said before, that that there's an independent ukimta. Okay, metaltel and truma. The Mishnah went on to say that you're allowed to be metaltel truma tameya with truma tahora, as long as they're together, you're allowed to move them. So Rav Chisa losha no losha tahora lamata tameya lamala. Says Rav Chisa, that's only if the truma tahora is on the bottom, but the truma tameya is on the top. Aval tahora lamala tameya lamata shakale l'tahora v'shavakle l'tameya. But if the truma tahora is on the top and the tameya is on the bottom, keep in mind the truma tameya is muktzah. So why would you be able to carry all of them? Just take the Tahora ones that are on the top. Just to skim them off the top. So frankly, Gemara v'chi Tahora l'mata nami, question of Lin Katinu. Even if the Torah ones are on the bottom, why do we let you carry the whole thing? Why don't you just throw it out of the basket and collect the Torah ones? This was the original context where we said that it wasn't an option to just tip over the basket and throw all the fruits all over the place, because the pears were going to get easily ruined if you throw them all over the place. We have a brisa that says explicitly that it doesn't matter what's on top and what's on bottom. The Torah could be on top, it could be on bottom, it doesn't make a difference. You're allowed to be metaltal the two of them together. So that's a tiyufta on Rav Chisda, because Rav Chisda said that if the Torah is on top, you got to skim off the top. So Amalach Rav Chisda, Masnisan Letzorach Gufo, Brisa Letzorach Makomo. Big difference. Question is, what's your motivation in moving this basket of fruits? In the Mishnah, we're talking about your motivation is you want the Tahar fruits. So then, of course, if the Tahar fruits are on top, you need to skim them off. You have no heter to move the entire basket when all you're interested in is the Tahar fruits. It's Tzorach Gufo. The Brisa is talking about you're not interested in any of the fruits. You need the spot that the basket is on. Skimming the Tahar fruits off the top is not going to help you any, because you need the spot that the basket is on. That's the Tzorach Makomo. So that's why the Brisa says it doesn't matter what's on top and what's on bottom. You're allowed to be metaltal the entire basket, because you're allowed to be metaltal muchzal tzorach makomo. So my duchke derav chizal lukum asnisan tzorach gufo. Great, so that answers the Mishnah. But why would you limit the Mishnah? Why would you say the Mishnah has to be talking about a case where the tahor is on the bottom and it's only Letzorach Gufo? Wouldn't it be so much easier to just say the Mishnah could be talking about any case, meaning where it's Letzorach Makomo, and therefore the Torah doesn't have to be on the bottom, the Truma Torah could be anywhere, and you're allowed to be in the Talit of the basket? Why would he have such a... It fits with the Mishnah, his explanation works, but why? Why come up with such a limited case for the Mishnah to be speaking about? So Rava Masnis and Kavase Daika, Rava says, it's because of the Mishnah, the continuation of the Mishnahis seem to be assuming this way. Katani Sefer, it says in the Sefer, Mol Shalakar, Minaris Hakar Veinoflos. It's the next Mishnah, that when there's money on a pillow, you could shake the pillow and the money will fall off. That Mishnah obviously must be talking about where you need the pillow. But if you needed the makom where the pillow was, so shaking it's not going to help you any. You're going to need to move the whole thing, and you are allowed to move the entire thing. So it's not talking about a case where it's tzorach makomo. So we just say tzorach gufo reishanami tzorach gufo. If the next Mishnah is talking about a case where it's tzorach gufo, then the reisha also, our Mishnah, must also be talking about a case of tzorach gufo. Once we're talking about where it's Letzorach Gufo, then you have to make that ukimta, that if the Truma Tahora is on top, so don't take the whole basket, only skim off the Truma Tahora. But that's why he has that he limits the case of our Mishnah to Dafka case where Truma Tahora is on the bottom. Vaitu, the Mishnah said, Rabbi Yudah Omer Af Malin, Rabbi Yudah said that you can remove some of the symbolic Truma food from a mixture. I call it symbolic Truma food because Meikra, then it's been batel b'meya, you're just taking one saw out because a saw of Truma fell in, so you're allowed to remove some of that symbolic Truma food from a mixture of Truma and Chulin and permit the rest of the food to be eaten. So the Gemara asks, "Ay, hakom asake v'amai, hakom asake, isn't it a problem of tikkun mana? Aren't you fixing all the other peros? So isn't that a problem?" So the Gemara is going to give three answers to this question. Answer number one, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Lazar Sfirilei, Damar Truma Be'ina Machta. Rabbi Yehuda, maybe Rabbi Yehuda really holds like Rabbi Lazar, that Truma is viewed as distinct from the Chulin that it's mixed with, and that's why if part of a forbidden mixture of Truma and Chulin falls into less than 100 times of its volumes of Chulin, the Gemara is about to say, the entire new mixture is Asr as if pure Truma had fallen in, because we view the Truma as distinct from the Chulin. Ditnan, Saw Truma Shnaful Pachos Mimea, a Saw of Truma falls into less than 100 Sitin of Chulin, v'nidmu, and therefore the whole Tarovus becomes Aser, v'nafal min ha-meduma l'makom acher, and some of that meduma then falls into another Tarovus. Rabbi Lazar Amar medameas k'chumas vaday. Rabbi Lazar says we view that, let's say one saw from the original mixture falls into another basket of Chulin, we view it as if a full saw of Truma, vaday Truma, fell into a basket of Chulin. Why? Because it might be the saw of Truma. The saw that falls in might be that original saw. We view it as if it's still intact. The Chum say, no, you have to cheshbon. If it fell into 50 before, and now once of that mixture of the 1 and 50 falls into another 50 se'in of chulin, so now it will be batel. Now you would say that it's olah, that it's fine, that it will be batel. But not Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar says we still view it as if the truma is be'en, because you see that Rabbi Lazar holds that the truma is still considered to be an independent entity. Says Yeah, of course Rabbi Lazar says that when it's a chumra to say that way, to say that it's not going to become batel in the second mixture. But over here he would say it lekula also, that you're allowed to do this on Shabbos, that you're allowed to be malah the truma on Shabbos. I don't think he would say it even lekula. That's a stretch. So the Gemara says second possible answer. Elohu damar, again, why is it not a problem of tikkun to take out the sa'a of truma and therefore be misaking the entire mixture? Elohu damar k'Rabbi Shimon, must be that Rabbi Yehuda is assuming like the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. K'detnan sa'a truma shenafla lemei avlo hispik lagbia ad shenafla acheres harezu asur of Rabbi Shimon matir. What if one sa'a of truma falls into 100 of chulin? So okay, it's bottles. Now you want to take it out before you have a chance to take anything out. Another sa'a of truma falls in. So had the two fallen in at the same time, you'd have a problem, right? Because that you wouldn't have a 100-to-1 ratio. But first one fell in, became batel, then the other one falls in. Tanakhama says it's asr, Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter. So we're assuming that Rabbi Yehuda holds that truma is viewed as distinct from the chulin that it's mixed with, because he holds like Rabbi Shimon that if a saw of truma is batel b'meya, then another saw of truma falls into the mixture, it's mutter, because we view the first saw of truma as separate from the 100 of chulin, and the new saw is viewed as having fallen into 100 of chulin. Aye, there's also a saw of truma. Yeah, but that's separate, and when I pull it out, it's going to be gone from here. Umimai dilma hasam ba'akam ifugi. No, how do you know that's the issue? Maybe over there, the machlokas, the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon over there is about, it's not that it's independent, that it's viewed as independent. It's a different svara. Tanakam is of Rafagav, the Nafl Bazachar Zach, command the Nafl Bazachar Stami, Vahalacham Shinafla, Vahalacham Shinafla. Rabbi Shimon suffered Kamaisa Batal Bimea, Valtiftal Bimea, Vachad. That the way the Tanakam views it is when two Sein of Truma fell in, I don't care that they fell in Zachar Zach, we view them as if they fell in at the same time, and therefore you don't have a 100-to-1 ratio, so it's all going to be Yasser. Rabbi Shimon says, first saw falls in, it's batel. Now the whole tarovus is mutter. The whole thing is considered to be chulin. Second one falls in, it didn't fall into 100 of chulin and one of truma. It fell into 101 of chulin. Because when the first one fell in, it became batel. So the whole thing becomes chulin. The whole thing becomes mutter. That's where Rabbi Shimon holds. Nothing to do with truma still being viewed as being independent from the rest of the items. No, absolutely not. So says Gemara, Ella, third possible answer. Why isn't it tikkun when you remove the sa'a, the representative sa'a of truma, ela the symbolic truma, elahu damak Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. He's assuming like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. The Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, no sinenu b'tzad zeh, v'ochu b'tzad acher. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, you don't need to remove it in order to be misakin it. You can be misakin it just by looking at it and saying, okay, the sa'a that's on the left side of the basket, that should be the truma. That's what I'm going to take out as the truma later. And then you're allowed to eat the rest of it. You're allowed to eat from the right side of the basket. So since you could do it without doing any action, you could be misakin just by looking at it. So when you actually lift it out, it's not called tikkun, because you don't need to lift it out in order to be misakin it. So says Gemara, mi savalei kavasei? Does he really hold it? Does Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda really agree with each other? V'amlifak poligi v'avei gitanya, Rav Yehuda amr malinus ha-medum bech v'meya, Rav Shimon and Lazar amr nosin enu v'tzad zeh, v'ochel mitzad acher. Rav Shimon and Lazar beferish argues in Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says you're allowed to actually take out that sa'a. Rav Shimon and Lazar says, no, you're not allowed to take out that sa'a because you have a better option. Your better option is just to look at it and say, yeah, the stuff on the left side will be the truma and the rest I'm allowed to eat. So Rav Shimon and Lazar doesn't agree with Rav Yehuda. Says the Gemara, yeah, he doesn't agree with Rav Yehuda, but Rav Yehuda agrees with him. Rav Yehuda likes his svara. He thinks that no sinenu v'tzad zeh works. It's just Rav Shimon and Lazar says, okay, no sinenu v'tzad zeh works, therefore that's what you have to do. Rav Yehuda says, no, because no sinenu v'tzad zeh works, mimela it's not tikkun anymore, and therefore you don't have to be nosinina. Besides that, you can actually lift it out. So he takes Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar one step further than Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar was willing to take Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. But he's entitled to do that. That's perfectly within Rabbi Yehuda's rights to disagree with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, even though he agrees with the basic idea of nosinina besides that. So says the Mishnah now. Ha'even shal pi achavis. If you have a stone on the opening of a barrel, at the mouth of a barrel, matal tzidavihino fellas, all you need to do is lean the barrel over and the even will fall off. So don't lift the barrel, just tilt it a little bit till the stone falls off of the barrel. Haisa bein achavios, but what if you can't tilt the barrel because it's squeezed in amongst all these other barrels? So if you tilt it, you can knock over all the barrels next to it, or it's, you just don't have the wiggle room to tilt it. So then, magbia umatal tzidavihino fellas. Then you can lift it up and tilt it once it's already lifted off the ground and let the stone fall off, because you have no other option in that case. Mo'ol shalakar, what if you have money on a pillow? Minaras hakar ve'noflos. So you shake off the pillow and the money will fall off. Haisa alav lashleshes. Let's say you had some dirt on it. You had dirt on the pillow. So mekancha b'smartut. So you can clean it off with a rag. Says Rashi, v'lo yitin alav mayim. You better not put water on it. The stam kar shel beged hu beged trios b'mayim hu kvuso. It's a stam pillow is made out of beged. It's made out of cloth. And you put water on it. That's kibus. That's it's mechabes midaraisa. That's a violation of libun. That's an iser. Haisa, right? If a person has a stain on the suit, you know, I'll take water and rub it on the stain. On beged, when you put water on something, that's a definite violation of being mechabes. Haisa shel or, nosa mayim matshetichva. If it's made out of leather, so then you could put water on it until it gets cleaned off, and that's totally fine because it's or, it's not beged, and that's not called kibus when it's leather and it's not a cloth. Amrav unamrav lo shanu ella bishocheach avu b'maniach nasa bas davar aser. This whole issue is only if you forgot it. I mean, the whole reason that we say that the stone, you have to be careful how you remove it by tilting and not by actually lifting it up and not by, is only if this whole heter that you're allowed to tilt it, that you're allowed to lift it up, that you're allowed to remove the stone in this way, is only if you forgot the stone there before Shabbos. But if you dafka placed it there, you wanted the stone there for whatever reason before Shabbos, then it becomes a bas l'davar aser. As we pointed out in the past, bas l'davar aser is only a problem if you purposely put it there. So if you accidentally left your cell phone on your covers on your bed before Shabbos when you were changing, you took your cell phone out of your pocket, you left it on your bed, the cover is not a bas l'davar aser. The cover does not become muktza because the bas l'davar aser was accidentally left there. It was not placed there on purpose. You still have to figure out how to remove the cell phone from the bed if you consider a klisha mlachta l'iser, so then you're allowed to move it because you're tzarech makamo. You could just pick it up and move it. But if you consider it muktza machmas chesron kis, something that you would never use for any other purpose other than it's than to make calls and use it as a miniature computer, which all the cell phones are nowadays, so then you would never, because it's too valuable, then you would have to be metaltal menatzad or something like that. You'd have to shake it off of the bed with the cover. But it doesn't. The cover doesn't become muktza as basal davar aser because it's only b'shocheach, but b'maniach is not going to be a problem of basal davar aser. So the Trumas Hadeshin writes, let's say you leave it on Erev Shabbos, you place something somewhere on Erev Shabbos, Trumas Hadeshin is Mekuf Tzadi Gimel, you miniach biyom Erev Shabbos, al das that you want to, you don't want to leave it there for Shabbos. You put it there on purpose, but you plan to take it away before Shabbos, and then you forgot to take it away before Shabbos. So he says that's considered to be, and he says va'achach shachol dino kishocheach. That has din of forgetting it. But if you stam or maniach on Erev Shabbos and you just didn't think about it without any plans to move it out of the way before Shabbos comes in, then it's kamaniach. Then he says that's all Erev Shabbos. If you place it there b'yimeachol, even if you leave it there b'stama, then it's shocheach. Then if you just stop and put something down and you just weren't thinking about Shabbos yet, it's Tuesday, you just weren't thinking about Shabbos yet, so you put something down, that is a din of shocheach. Quite a kula of the Trumas Hadeshin. Beis Yosef disagrees. Says, no, what difference does it make if it's Tuesday or Friday? Bottom line is, the question is, why you put it, what was your kavana when you put it there? Were you putting it there with any sort of kavana, or is it stam that a person, that the guy was shocheach? Also, also the other Rashi over here says that that maniach is nas basal davar aser, and Rashi says asal atosa because the chavis becomes muksa as well. So the velt, the achronim, all that's the kasha. But isn't there wine in the barrel? So shouldn't it be nitalag of the wine? It's a basal davar aser ula davar amuter. Okay, achronim have four or five different answers to that question, but we got to get moving here. Haisa bein achavia. So we said if the barrel is amongst other barrels, so you don't have much wiggle room to be able to tilt it, so then you're allowed to lift it up. So man tam de kalei chadik yisur v'atere v'atere tarchin v'yisur lo tarchinan, who's the one that holds? That whenever you have heter and iser, so you're always v'atere tarchin, you should always deal with the heter and not with the iser. So amar rabba barbachan, amar rabbi yochanan, rishumim amlielhi, that we must be assuming like the shita of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, from the fact that the Mishnah prefers moving the barrel to just lifting off the stone directly shows us that tilting the barrel rather than just lifting off the stone directly is or moving the barrel rather than the stone shows that we must be assuming like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The Tanan Haborer Kitnas Biyamtov Beishama Yamun Borer Ochel VeOchel. If you're doing Borer on Yantif, so we discussed a lot about Borer on Shabbos. What about Borer on Yantif? You're taking out some dirt from amongst beans on Yantif. So Bishami says, borer ochel v'ochel. Take out the ochel, take out what you need and eat it. Just like Shabbos. That would be the same the din of Shabbos. Ochel mitoch ha-psolos, and that's what you're supposed to do. Ubeisilom borer kedarko b'chiko b'tamchoi. Beisil says, no, whatever's easier for you. If it's easier for you to be borer the psolos, so do that. Because on Yantif, it's ochel nefesh. So for ochel nefesh, you're allowed to do it. You should just do whatever is the least tircha. V'tanya amrim shumum liel b'med var mamurim p'shaha ochel merubah l'psolos. When does Beis Hillel say that you could take out the psolas? That's when there's more ochel than psolas, so it's easier to take out the psolas. Al psolas meruba al ochel, but if there's more psolas than there is ochel, divrei kol borer ochel. Then everyone's going to say that you have to be borer the ochel. Then even Beis Hillel will be moda that you need to be borer the ochel. You have to go with the less tircha. V'ha'acha d'chi ochel meruba al psolas dami. But over here, in our case, it's like ochel meruba al psolas. So the point is that in our case, therefore, everyone should agree that you should be allowed to that you should be allowed to take out the psolas, meaning you should be allowed to do the greater iser of removing the psolas. So hachanami, meaning of removing the stone. Hachanami, keeping the by the mishkal, the mishtakel leyayin ad the shakel leleven kipsolas meruba leochel dami. No, because the point is over here. Until the stone is gone, you're never going to be able to have access to your wine. So since you're never going to have access to your wine, it's ki'ilu, the psolus is meruba al-ochel. That's considered the easiest way to do it. Just like when psolus is meruba al-ochel, we assume taking out the ochel is the easiest way. Doing it pederach heter is the easiest way. Over here, that taka is the easiest way to do it. So again, the fact that the Mishnah prefers moving the barrel to just lifting off the stone directly shows us that it follows the shita of Rabbi Shimon Liel, that when sorting a mixture of beans and dirt, we're removing the dirt from the beans and removing the beans from the dirt involve the same amount of effort, where it's both equally easy. You're supposed to be borer ochel. You should remove the beans from the dirt so as not to handle the muksa dirt directly. Meaning, whenever the options are equal, you go with the greatest heter. You don't handle muksa directly. Apparently, when you're given the choice, we prefer not to move a muksa item, whether it's a rock on a barrel, whether it's dirt mixed with beans. That's the point. Whenever you're given a choice and everything else is even, so you always don't move the muksa item. Then the Mishnah said, if it was amongst other barrels, then you lift it up instead of tilting it over. So Tanya, Rabbi Yossi, Yomar, I said, Chavos Menachas Ba'otzer, Shoy Klei Zuchuchas, Munachan Tachteha. So if it's in a spot where you can't tilt it, it's in an Otzer, where there are glass kelim all around it, Magbiya L'makom Achers, and then you lift it out to a different place. V'matal Tzi, then you tilt it, V'hino Fellas, the stone will fall off in that different place, V'notli, V'namash Atzarach, L'maksin L'makoma, then you can take out whatever you need and put it back. Mol Shalakar, if you had money on a pillow, so Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi Amar Rav Lo Shanu Al B'Shochech. That's only again if you forgot the money on the pillow. Avul B'Maniach Nas Basla Davar Aser. But if you put the money on the pillow on purpose, so then the pillow's mux also. It's a Basla Davar Aser, so you can't shake off the pillow. Amar Rabbi Bar Bechan Amar Rabbi Yochel Lo Shanu Al Tzoruch Gufo Avul Tzoruch Mekomo Metal Tlo Va'odin Lav. That's only when it's the Tzoruch Gufo. But it's the Tzoruch Mekomo, you need the pillow, so then you could move the whole pillow. You don't need to shake off the pillow. What's that going to do for you if you shake off the rock from the the pillow, you still need the makom where the pillow's on. So then you're allowed to move the entire pillow. That it's only the tzorach kufo, but if it's the tzorach makomo, then also again we said you're allowed to be metaltalit even though the money is still on the pillow. I guess we have to stop there at the two dots, but Hashem, we will catch up tomorrow. Okay.